This is Reverend Keith Nethery, rector of St. James Westminster Anglican Church here in London, Ontario. It's great to have you with us today. It's actually kind of lonely as we record the voice track of the audio track this morning. There is just myself and our sound technician, John Gardy. As time has gone on, our musicians, wanting to have more people participate and wanting to respect the physical distancing rules that are in place, have begun gathering in other groups and remotely from each other using technology to record music and vocal tracks. So participating today musically at a distance will be Shen Jones, Victoria Piovesan, Paul Grambo, Lauren McDonald, all the way now from Olds, Alberta, and Steve Hollowitz, as always, is our director of music and will be playing the piano and the organ. It's wonderful to have you join us. As always, we invite you to find a place that is comfortable for yourself, close your eyes, come before God. We offer worship to you with our prayer and our blessings. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord. Reading from the Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our lectionary provides for us today two readings that are most appropriate to the day, as no doubt we are all just a little bit disconcerted, a little bit lacking in faith, asking questions in this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's unpack the two readings just a little bit, and then perhaps offer some thoughts about how that might relate to us and work with us and for us as we work our way through times that are anything but normal. The Epistle of Peter, the first epistle written to people who were scattered throughout the Roman area, was one of exhortation, one of certainly trying to get people to come to faith and to feel better. And I love this passage right at the start, which is Peter's opening way to talk to people who, in the 60s, just some 30 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, when this letter would have been written, those people in that time, it was not a Christian church that was in any way dominant. In fact, they were scattered, they were alone, they were trying to figure out what this thing called church was, and they were persecuted. They were pushed away by people on all sides, so it was not an easy time to be a person of faith. So Peter begins by addressing that straight up, and then of course he goes on to exhort them much, much more strongly as he goes through the balance of what he writes and encouraging them. But he talks about faith. And key in the theme that we see in the gospel as well, it's talking about faith in a sense of, how do I believe this? What does it take for me to be able to take that step, that leap that says, yes, I trust God. Yes, I have faith in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Nearly 2,000 years later, I think most of us, I certainly do, have my times when I have deep, difficult questions about faith and about what it means to be a believer. And it is in those times of questioning that I learn and grow the most. The Psalms are a wonderful example of lamentations of people who simply, many of the Psalms, people simply went before God and complained and whined. And God accepted that. Because God understands that there is a process for us as humans to continue to try and figure out what faith means to us. That as we go through different parts of our life, as we face difficult things like a pandemic that has our world shut down, as we have gone through the First and Second World Wars, as we go through all kinds of different situations, when we are stretched, when we are pushed, we question. And that's exactly what the people that Peter was writing to were doing. They were questioning. So he talks about faith that is like gold. Yet gold has to be purified. He talks about faith that will bring joy, will bring salvation, but does not exclude us from trials and temptations. And in fact, persecutions and the difficulties that they were facing were to be expected. But it all goes together in a package of faith, and that is the understanding that we journey with God, we journey with Jesus Christ, we journey through our life, through the ups and downs, to find heaven on earth, heaven in this place, to bring forth the kingdom of God on earth, and then beyond the end of this life, we have an understanding and a believing that there is something else. So we look at the passage from the Gospel of John, and I read a commentary this week that made me stop and think, because I've always been quite happy to call him Doubting Thomas. And the commentary suggested, and as I look back at the reading and thought about it, and I think about the situation that we are facing today, I really don't think that it's appropriate to call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas simply missed an event. And we need to stop and think about just how huge an event it was. Something else that I hadn't caught before It says that the disciples were gathered in the evening of the first day of the week. That means that this is the day of Jesus' resurrection. This means they are all still completely baffled in trying to understand what the women had come to tell them, what Peter and John had found but really didn't understand when they went to the tomb. They were completely discombobulated, if I can use a term. Afraid? Absolutely. Questioning? You've got to believe they were. And into this scenario, Jesus comes and stands among them and says simply, "Peace. Peace be with you." Now stop to think about that for just a second. Your whole world has been completely upended. This person that you believed was going to be the Messiah, the leader for forever, and you never really got your mind and brain around what he was saying about being resurrected and what that might mean. And after an entire day of thinking, we've lost him, well, maybe we haven't, well, maybe we have, suddenly he walks into the room, and without offering really any explanation, he simply says, "Peace." Now, Thomas isn't there. Looking at the magnitude of this situation, can anybody say anything about poor Thomas for saying, "Okay, there's too much going on around here. You know, the women are coming telling us about something going on around the tomb, and Peter and John saw something, and this is just too much. I'm completely on overload, so excuse me, but I'm just not going to believe this until I can touch him. Until I can find that sensory thing that we all need to understand, until he could reach out and touch him, the wounds, the nail marks." Thomas said, "I simply can't process this." So of course, when Thomas is with them a week later and Jesus suddenly appears, the first thing he wants to do at Jesus' invitation is to touch. And he says, "My God." In that simple touch is the confirmation of everything in Thomas's faith. And then Jesus says the words that really connect us to the reading from 1 Peter. "Blessed are you who have seen and believe, but even greater are those who have not seen and still believe." And that's the step that we have to take. We know of the story of Jesus Christ. We have practiced our faith. We have heard people suggest to us that if you are truly a person of faith, you'll be happy all the time. And I think both these readings speak against that. Difficulty is part of the way the world and life unfolds. So today, as people around us are sick, as we are frustrated by yet another extension of having to stay at home, bored, looking for something to do, as we are thinking about the security we have put in place with bank accounts and jobs and pensions and health care, and wondering, gee, maybe that isn't enough, we are confronted with a situation not unlike Thomas's, not unlike the one that Peter describes to his followers. So the question is, will we believe? And I will suggest to you, if you say immediately and absolutely, "Of course we will," then you haven't thought about it enough. There is no doubt in my mind that the greatest growth in my life has come at the most difficult times. I know absolutely that money and possessions could not save me. In fact, I have said, and I believe this to the core of my being, if somebody had given me $1 million when I was 18 years old, I would be dead, without a doubt. So as we face a pandemic, trying to understand that balance between what we do and what we stay away from, our human leadership and trying to support them and disagree with them all at the same time, we are left with that time-honored question that people of true faith, I think, always have to confront. Do I believe? What do I believe? How do I believe? Why do I believe? Peter told his followers that difficulty and suffering are part of the package. It's part of life. I wouldn't always have agreed with that, but I certainly do today. This crazy world, this huge universe that we can't understand, rolls on. Life rolls on. Peter and John and all of those people have been dead for 2,000 years. And perhaps 2,000 years from now, people will think about those of us who lived in this era. The constant is God the Creator. The constant is Jesus the Christ. The constant is faith. Believing and trusting, not superficially, but deep inside your soul and your spirit and your heart and your mind. That's what Peter called his followers to. That's what Thomas confessed when he said, "My Lord and my God." And I think that's what we need to summon up and confess as we face probably the most difficult thing on a worldwide basis that will happen in our generation. Don't shy away from it. Don't look for easy answers. Don't try and hide from the pain. Don't try to keep the fear inside you and not let others know that you are feeling afraid. We keep saying we're all in this together, which has become kind of a catchphrase. And once something becomes a catchphrase, it loses its meaning. So the sign in front of St. James Westminster has a saying on it that was part of a discussion between three or four of us before we finally reached what we wanted to say. In this time, we all have a role to love one another. Interestingly, that's what Jesus told his disciples before he died, to love one another. And if we love one another, and if we ask the deep and difficult questions of faith, we will continue. We will go forward to find whatever is next after this life. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer. And in these days, that might be a little more difficult than when everything is normal, whatever normal is. So in this new normal, find whatever place that you can come before God. Sit comfortably, stand, kneel, close your eyes, keep them open. Whatever you feel God calling you to, let us pray together. God, we ask your peace, that peace that Jesus offered the disciples when they were completely confused. God, we ask for your love, remembering that you have told us to love one another. God, we pray for healing, knowing that that is a deep and philosophical question as to what healing might mean for those who are sick, those who are troubled, those who are struggling with mental illness, those who are just downright afraid working on the front lines, be it doctors, nurses, and technicians in the hospital, the people who pick up our garbage, or store clerk, people who maybe don't want to be where they are but feel called to be there and are trying to summon the faith to confront their fear, to go on. Lord, we pray for healing knowledge. Knowledge and learning and understanding of the world that will help heal our spirits and our souls. Lord, we pray for what the new normal will be. We talk with you about what kind of a world we should find as we come out of this pandemic. Should we simply go back to what we did before? Or is it time to make changes so that we can all love one another in the fullness of what love means? Lord, we pray for those who have died, for those who mourn, for those whose hearts are broken because those things that are usually available, the opportunity to be with a loved one when they take their last breath, to bring all their family and friends together, to have a celebration of life, those things simply aren't possible. So we pray for them. We ask that you will help them through that deep grief and difficulty in a time that is tearing their spirit and their soul. In whatever way we can, we will be supports to those people. We pray for our world leaders. We may criticize them, God, but certainly they're not in an easy situation. No matter what they decide, there will be those who like it, those who don't, those who compliment, those who complain. Help us to remember that we have elected them. We have put them in those places. May your spirit blow through them, Lord, and help them to understand what the new normal looks like to you. We pray for all of God's creation. As we see more birds and animals running around our city, less pollution, as we see the green of the spring and the buds on the trees that show new life, remind us, God, that you created all of this, that it is your beauty, your creation, and that we are called to be its stewards. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Each of us has things on their heart and mind and in their spirit that we need to talk to you about. Give us the courage to now have those conversations. All this we ask in the name of the one who said simply, peace. May God's peace be with you this day and always. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be with us all today, through this time of difficulty, and forevermore. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.